This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. A number of bills have sprung up in state legislatures around the country following unrest, dealing with police killings of black people, including some that seek penalties for those who direct harsh language at police officers. Such proposed laws, including bills in Ohio and Kentucky, call up long-running debates about the relationship between free speech and police power. Is offensive language directed at law enforcement an example of, quote, fighting words and subject to criminal penalties, or is it protected by the First Amendment? The sponsor of one such piece of legislation in Kentucky is Senator Danny Carroll. I spoke with the Republican from Benton earlier. Here's our pre-recorded interview. Kentucky State Senator Danny Carroll is a Republican from Benton. Senator Carroll, thank you for being with us.
Yeah, it's my pleasure, Michael.
So let's talk about Senate Bill 211. This was a piece of legislation that you filed in the recently concluded General Assembly session. It did pass the Senate by a vote of 22-11, but was not taken up in committee by the House, so it did not become law. What was your motivation behind this piece of legislation?
Well, what the initial stages of this really had to do with what we saw happen throughout our country during the summer with all the rioting that was taking place and what we saw in Washington, D.C., and then more specifically what we saw within the Commonwealth in the city of Louisville with all the rioting that took place there. And I looked at several pieces of legislation that other states were looking at, Florida, Tennessee in particular. And, you know, we took some of the language and adjusted it to fit our statutes. And so that was basically what started the bill. And we worked on it for several months, making various changes and even going into the session and even as late as the committee hearing in the Senate, we were making changes on the bill in response to concerns that various groups had.
So parts of this legislation that seemed to receive the most criticism were related to criticism itself, criticism of a police officer, insulting a police officer. Do you have any recognition of those concerns? Do you agree with those concerns that perhaps that is against our protected free speech in this country?
Well, and it's been very frustrating through this entire process, really. That's the only thing that's been discussed about this entire bill is that one section. And I was a little disappointed on that. I was a little disappointed in the way that this bill was presented, not just within our state, but throughout this country. And the headline media just was rampant through this. And basically, the headline always read, bill would cause you to go to jail for insulting or taunting a police officer. And that's what the headline was. And you and I both know that a lot of the public, that's all they read is headlines. And because of that, over recent weeks, I have received threats. I have been called about every name that you can think of from people all over this country. But if people actually took the time to study the language in this particular section, they would understand that there is a constitutional basis for this. When you look back, going back as far as 1942, in a Supreme Court case, Chaplinsky versus New Hampshire, there is a basis where there are rulings where fighting words, and that's what this language refers to in its totality, not just pulling out one or two words or in the language, as far as maybe insulting or taunting. There's much more to the language than those two words. And the reality of it is you would not go to jail for simply insulting or taunting a police officer. And that's the frustrating part of it, because that message simply hasn't gotten out. And I, to a large extent, I blame the media for that. The mainstream media has just taken this and taken the headline part of it and ran with it and basically ignored the base of this and where this comes from. And the fact that there is a long history of fighting words not being protected by our Constitution.
We're talking with Kentucky State Senator Danny Carroll. He's a Republican from Benton, Kentucky. I want to read part of an article in the mainstream media, the Courier-Journal out of Louisville, the state's largest daily newspaper. And this is how they characterized your characterization of the bill and the bill itself. It says in part, quote, though Carroll said, quote, insulting an officer is not going to cause anyone to go to jail, end quote, his bill states a person is guilty of disorderly conduct, a Class B misdemeanor with a penalty of up to 90 days imprisonment if he or she, quote, accosts, insults, taunts, or challenges a law enforcement officer with offensive or derisive words or by gestures or other physical contact that would have a direct tendency to provoke a violent response from the perspective of a reasonable and prudent person. So technically, there could be jail time served if you commit a Class B misdemeanor, Senator. But regardless, this bill would criminalize the speech, right?
And you have to remember that language is in the context of an entire statute. And there are other elements that have to be met also. And that has to do with in a public place with the intent to cause public inconvenience, annoyance, alarm, or wantonly creates a risk thereof. And that's the other language in the disorderly conduct second degree statute. And I would also mention this, that we were working on amended language to replace that language. And the plan was in a House committee substitute to make that language tighter, to make it more focused on what our intent was. And we will do that. We have done that. We, as I said, we have pre-filed the bill, and that language is even tighter. And if you look at the history of cases related to fighting words in our country, when it has not been upheld, and there are many cases where it hasn't upheld, and it has the language has been diminished over the decades, and I freely admit that. But if you look at in a lot of the cases, the reason that it was not upheld has to do with the language itself and being too vague, being too broad, and not specifically focusing on what fighting words are themselves. And so that's what we've done when we amended the language to tighten it up and to make sure that it has a really good chance of withstanding constitutional review. And I think it's important to understand, too, that these are situations that put the police officer and the public at great risk when an officer is being verbally assaulted. And this is to the extent that he or she cannot adequately protect themselves or protect others in the vicinity. And this particular language is designed to give law enforcement the option to remove an offender from these situations, which could help de-escalate a situation. And this is not necessarily a riot. Obviously, the most common situation where this arrest would take place, but in any large gathering where this type of behavior would tend to incite others to disorderly conduct based on the language to create a risk thereof, a public inconvenience, annoyance, alarm. And so that's what the language is meant to do. And it is truly a safety issue for first responders and for the public. An officer obviously can't pay attention to what's going on around them if they have someone in their face, spitting in their face as they speak, making all these gestures, abusive words, verbally assaulting the officers. There would be so much of a focus on that particular interaction, which by the statute is a language that serves no legitimate purpose. So it's not related to the protest itself. It serves no other purpose but to incite a response from the officer, and in many cases simply so a video can be taken showing that officer losing their cool. And time after time we have seen this in incidents throughout this country, and I just think it's time that we step up and protect the protectors.
We're talking with Senator Danny Carroll, a state senator in Kentucky. He's a Republican from Benton. You referenced what you saw in Louisville last summer as part of the motivation that led to this legislation being filed and ultimately approved by the state Senate. So in Louisville, as we saw across the country, there were protests and there was violence as well. in response to the deaths of Black people at the hands of police in Louisville in particular, there was anger over the death of Breonna Taylor there. Police during those protests and in some instances, violent activities, they did arrest.
See, therein lies the problem is mainstream media will not call it what it is. When it turns violent, it is a riot. And riots are in violation of the law. No one has any issue with peaceful protest. And I support that, and I will always support that. But when it does turn violent, then it becomes a riot, and it's illegal at that point. And that's what this bill is about.
Right. So 871 protest-related arrests by Louisville Metro Police, according to the Courier-Journal's review of data. So, and that included more than 250 felony charges. So there were legal responses to what you were calling a riot, to some of the more violent or extreme measures taken by people who were participating in these protests. So was it not enough arrest? Did you think more people should have been charged, Senator?
I wasn't there, so I can't say that, but I have spoken with officers who were there. There were obviously fires attempted to federal courthouse. There was looting. There were explosive devices being thrown at officers, Molotov cocktails, frozen bottles and jugs thrown at officers. And it was described by officers as a war zone. And that's exactly what it was at times. And so the arrests were made, and there are other tools and there are other statutes that officers could arrest for. And that's what the rest of this bill is about, which no one has bothered to really talk about. And it provides some direct punishments for those particular crimes when they're involved or in relation to a riot, where there is an enhanced penalty on some of these offenses. And then some other language in the bill that adds language. Laser lights were being flashed in officers' eyes, which rendered them unable to do their job to protect themselves. So things like that. So the bill does address that, and it does have enhanced penalties to address rioting in general, and specifically some of the things that happen within Louisville.
Senator, you're a retired police officer. Did you ever have to deal with people who were using language that you might have found harmful or that might fall under this legislation?
They're being cussed at or being called names, that goes along with the job, and that's nothing new. And in the past there were limits. You look 25 years ago, if someone started berating an officer in public, yelling, screaming, and they were given a warning or two, and then they went to jail for disorderly conduct. But over the years, through the evolution, through case law, officers have been expected to take more and more verbal abuse, and it goes along with the territory. And I'm not saying that it shouldn't be. That's just part of the job. But I think this bill and this language is narrowly focused down to particular situations, and I think it's just a level of protection not only for law enforcement but for the public who is in the surrounding area. An officer cannot do their job if they are being verbally assaulted to such a level as described in this language. It's not just simply yelling a few words from a distance. It's a straight one-on-one, in-your-face kind of contact that this deals with. And we're also looking at perhaps adding some language that would put a distance requirement, where the interaction is within 5 feet or something of that nature to try to narrow it down even more. But I think it's very valid language. I think we see the events. And, if nothing else, this bill has gained a national conversation. And at some point, I think the general public is going to start questioning, why are we allowing people to treat those who protect us in this manner? And I think it's unacceptable. And I hear all the arguments about what about the officers are doing this, this, and this. And I couldn't agree more. And I would also note that I sponsored a bill this session that did pass and is now law within the Commonwealth that strengthens the police decertification process in Kentucky. And the purpose of this is to help get rid of bad cops. And so, you know, really my legislation has not been one-sided. It's been a balance. And the reality of it is that 99% of all the law enforcement officers out on our streets today are simply there to protect and serve, and they serve with honor and dignity and courage. And they're the ones who allow us to sleep safely at night, and they deserve to be treated better than what some of our residents in our country do today.
Kentucky State Senator Danny Carroll is a Republican from Benton. Senator Carroll, thank you so much for the time you gave us and explaining your position on this piece of legislation for us.
I appreciate the opportunity, Michael. Thank you, sir.
And up next, experts weigh in on the constitutionality of this type of legislation. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition On Demand. Did you know you can have the show delivered straight to your smartphone every day? Just go to your favorite podcast listening app, search Cincinnati Edition, and subscribe. You'll be able to keep up with all our great conversations with newsmakers, public officials, and other interesting people from the greater Cincinnati region and beyond on the go, anytime, anywhere. It's great for those days you can't tune in to catch us live. Weekdays at noon on 91.7 WVXU. And this is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Mungs. We continue now with our exploration of legislation aimed to criminalize insulting or using violent language towards police officers. We're joined now by civil rights attorney and Northern Kentucky University Chase College of Law professor Jennifer Kensley. Jennifer, welcome to Cincinnati Edition.
Thanks so much for having me.
And ACLU of Ohio staff attorney David Carey. David, welcome to the show.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
And you can join our conversation at 513-419-7100. Jennifer, let's start with you. This type of legislation that we just heard the senator from Benton talk about previously, it's not necessarily something new. We've seen this type of legislation pushed before, right?
Yes, we have. In fact, we've seen it on a national level up until recent times, and I'm specifically referencing a 1987 case called Houston versus Hill, where the Supreme Court struck down a Houston law that criminalized criticism directed at police officers. In that case, the Supreme Court held that the First Amendment unequivocally protects verbal criticism levied one-on-one in direct confrontations with police officers.
So this brings up something that I think is loosely referred to as a fighting words doctrine. Is that a thing? Can you tell us what that is?
Sure. The fighting words doctrine comes from a case called Chaplinsky that the senator referenced, decided by the Supreme Court in 1942. And the essential premise of the fighting words doctrine is that some words are so offensive that they might cause a reasonable person hearing these words to react violently. Now, as you can probably tell from my description of the doctrine, it's a pretty vague doctrine. There's no bright line rule in terms of what specific words will cause a reasonable person to react violently. And I think over time, we have come to understand that people possess the intellectual and emotional fortitude not to meet words with violence. So the fighting words doctrine has really eroded over time. And at this point, it's pretty clear that fighting words with respect to the police don't exist.
Well, let's talk about this piece of legislation in Kentucky specifically. It did pass the Senate, but did not make it into a floor conversation in the House of Representatives in Frankfort. So it did not become law. But we heard Senator Carroll say that he does plan to reintroduce this piece of legislation when the Assembly returns next year. Is this going to withstand constitutional challenges if it were to become law?
So I hesitate to predict what will happen, but my opinion is that this statute is unconstitutional for a few reasons. First of all, the law is incredibly vague. It uses terms like offensive or derisive words without defining what that actually means. And what's offensive to me might not be offensive to you or to another person. So that creates a number of problems. It's really hard for average citizens to understand what words exactly are prohibited by this law. And when we don't know what laws mean and we don't understand how they apply, we tend to chill our own speech. So what likely would happen is that people would stop saying anything about or to police officers because they wouldn't want to be arrested for violating the statute. Another problem is that the statute gives a lot of discretion to police officers to decide when someone's speech is offensive enough that they need to be arrested. And there's also a mismatch in the law in terms of the violent response that's allowed. So under the fighting words doctrine, the test focuses on a reasonable person. But here we're talking about police officers responding violently. And police officers are not always the same as your average person. In fact, police officers have special training about how to withstand criticism and how to de-escalate confrontations. Police officers are expected under the law to have a thicker skin than the average person. But I also think this law is really concerning because it perpetuates some really dangerous assumptions that we have about police. We don't like to think of our police officers as responding violently when they're subject to verbal criticism. In fact, that's the whole point of why these protests occurred last semester. We want police to de-escalate, to keep our communities safe, and not to be the perpetrators of violence. And yet this statute specifically allows police officers to respond violently. And in my mind, that's dangerous.
That's Jennifer Kensley, a civil rights attorney and Northern Kentucky University Chase College of Law professor. We're also joined by ACLU of Ohio staff attorney David Carey. David, we heard Jennifer talk about the fighting words doctrine as well as police officers receiving specialized training and how to de-escalate situations where, you know, words might turn nasty. This is a point that you also raised in a legal case that emerged out of Clark County involving a man named Michael Wood who was arrested. He had a shirt that was deemed offensive. It said F the police on it. What can you tell us about that case and your position on it?
Sure. So that case is a good example of how that fighting words doctrine that Jennifer talked about could be misused if it's taken too far. The case itself is about a man who, as you said, was wearing a shirt that said F the police. He was approached by no fewer than six police officers who, along with the fair director, he was at a public fairground, the fair director sort of angrily demanded that he leave. Mr. Wood protested. He said he had a constitutional right to speak and to wear that shirt, but ultimately he agreed to leave. So as he's walking out, all six police officers are shadowing his steps, hovering over him, and he continued to make some statements, a combination of sort of little asides and some general comments, some with some coarse language. He referred to the police as thugs with guns that don't uphold the United States Constitution, and he called them a few less than perfectly polite names. But it's worth noting that no one involved in this case showed any threat of violence. Mr. Wood kept on walking the whole time. He was clearly leaving as he'd been asked to do. The police were following him along. There was some sort of sotto voce grousing among the police about what Mr. Wood was saying, but there was never any indication that they were about to lose their tempers and start swinging fists. And that's the critical question with the fighting words doctrine. The fighting words doctrine is not meant to protect people from being criticized, certainly not police. The fighting words doctrine is meant to preserve the peace. If language is so offensive, so outrageous, so beyond the pale, that it would cause the listener to sort of fly into immediate violence, that's the only situation where that doctrine comes into play. And what happened here was eventually the police officers arrested Mr. Wood for disorderly conduct. And it's our position that under the clearly established First Amendment law surrounding this fighting words doctrine, they should know better and they must know better. And in this case, the prosecutor agreed with that. They dropped the charges against Mr. Wood almost immediately. He was arrested for disorderly conduct. But Mr. Wood is now suing for false arrest and for a number of other claims. And again, this is sort of illustrating the danger of that fighting words doctrine. If it's taken beyond the very narrow situations where it's originally meant to be applied, it gives the police effectively the power to arrest someone for speech that they just don't like or that they find inconvenient. That is not the intent of the fighting words doctrine.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask about, David, was, you know, is there a slippery slope possible here with this type of targeting of the First Amendment just because police officers are involved? Would there be broader circumstances in which we see the First Amendment slowly chipped away?
Absolutely. And I would just echo that what Jennifer said on this, that the police officers are expected to be able to handle a certain amount of coarse criticism. So I think what Senator Carroll is missing here in part is that when it comes to police in particular, the bar must be higher. But this fighting words doctrine, since the 1940s, since it was created, has always been regarded as somewhat dangerous for the reasons you say. That it's meant to be used only in cases where the speech is so outrageous that it would cause immediate violence. There is not a great deal of speech that falls into that categorization, even outside of policing.
We got an email from David who writes, "This law in Kentucky seems overly broad and an attack on First Amendment speech rights and will probably be found unconstitutional." He goes on to write, "I fully agree with the senator's rights to attempt to get this law passed because I think even though I disagree with him, he does have a point, but he is right that it does go along with the job. I believe the vast majority of the police are good people, but sometimes things go bad and people die at the hands of police." That was an email from David. Jordan writes to us, quote, "When I watch the videos of interactions with police officers online, I often see the police using vulgar and offensive language directed at the individuals they are interacting with. Would this bill also punish officers who use offensive or violent language directed towards the public?" You're listening to Cincinnati Edition. We're joined today by Northern Kentucky University Chase College of Law professor and civil rights attorney Jennifer Kinsley and ACLU of Ohio staff attorney David Carey. Jennifer, this piece of legislation that was presented and sponsored by Senator Danny Carroll of Benton, a Republican state senator in Kentucky, emerged after the protest in Louisville last year. So this is something that emerged out of protests that were certainly racially charged. This was a protest movement that said police are killing black people and it needs to stop. Is there anything else to read into this type of legislation when you take into consideration the racial undertones?
Yeah, absolutely. So we've been speaking about the difficulties that this law has on its face in terms of the language that it uses and the terminology that it states. But I think there's also a real concern about the legislative motivation underlying this law. In fact, we just heard Senator Carroll speak to the connection between the Black Lives Matter protest that took place last summer and his impetus for bringing forward a bill like this. He spoke directly to the situation in Louisville, which he described as riots. I personally would not describe it that way. And we know that the state of Kentucky has grappled for a long time over the past year with the Breonna Taylor situation and protest of government officials related to their action or inaction in that case. So the connection between this law and racial discrimination seems quite strong. In fact, I would go so far as to say this law is supported by and motivated by a desire to silence critics of police officers involved in the Black Lives Matter movement.
David, if you're advising people who might find themselves in this type of situation again, should similar protest emerge in cities in Ohio again, what is your advice when it comes to facing police officers?
So I think one thing that we have to consider here is that there is what we call in the free speech world a chilling effect that results from laws like this. Even if the law may eventually not be interpreted to encompass certain conduct or to criminalize certain conduct, what you're doing by passing a law here is making people afraid of arrest, and thus keeping them from speaking at all. And, you know, as Jennifer noted, I think that will have a severely disparate impact against people who are protesting the police. And that is something that has to be taken into account here. And that kind of chilling effect ultimately has a negative effect on the public discourse. So when it comes to people who are intending to speak out, I think, you know, it depends on the situation. But the rights of that are guaranteed by the First Amendment reign supreme. This law and laws like this, including some that are being considered in Ohio, are sort of a combination of unnecessary to the extent that they're making things criminal that are already criminal, and unconstitutional to the extent that they're going above and beyond existing law and trying to prohibit things that are vaguely defined or are even clearly protected by the First Amendment.
David Carey is a staff attorney at ACLU of Ohio, and Jennifer Kensley is a civil rights attorney and a professor at Northern Kentucky University Chase College of Law. Jennifer, David, thanks to both of you for the time you gave us today. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Thanks.
And you've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Our assistant producer is Nick Swartzel. Our technical director is Josh Elstro. Our theme music is composed by Rob Fetters. You can find archives of our program online at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Monks. We'll talk again tomorrow.